It's Essential Pittsburgh. I'm Paul Guggenheimer, and we are beginning this September 11th edition of the program in Stony Creek Township, which is the site of the Flight 93 Memorial. It was, of course, on this day, September 11th, 2001, that Flight 93 crashed in this remote mountainous area of Pennsylvania. The plane was forced down by the passengers, whose heroic actions are being commemorated here with the opening of a brand new visitor center complex. This week, we are seeing the opening of a visitor center as well as a learning center and a memorial wall. Here to tell us about all of these new additions is Keith Newland. He is Deputy Superintendent of the Western Pennsylvania National Park Service. Keith Newland, welcome to Essential Pittsburgh.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
Tell us a little bit about these new additions, and why don't we start with this magnificent wall that we are seeing that's about maybe 150, 200 or so yards from where we're standing. It is very impressive, and on this sunny, puffy clouds in the sky day, it really is a striking sight.
Yes, and what you see in front of you, we have two memorial walls, not to be confused with the wall of names that we opened when the park opened, but the memorial walls are here for a couple of reasons. Paul Murdoch completed the entire design of the entire park, and he envisioned this complex to sit at this height with these walls for a couple of reasons. One, you mentioned the clouds and the puffy clouds. If you remember on 9/11, the sky was crystal blue. These walls frame the sky. Secondly, he wanted this sense of mass here. He wanted the individuals who are walking through the walls to get a sense of compression. And there's also sort of a sense of surprise in there because there is a building located between those two walls. And have a sense of compression and then a sense of decompression as you step out onto the flight path overlook. The overlook is about 20 feet off the ground. It gives you a view of everything inside the Field of Honor, the field that was here at the time of the crash. So you have a direct view of the impact site where the boulder's located, the memorial wall of names, the wetlands, the alley, the entire expanse. So there's some spatial design that's occurring here, and he does it very well. And if, you know, I could take you right into the space, you would see that almost immediately. Then nestled between the two walls, we have about a 7,000 square foot visitor center. We have five 12 by 20 walls with exhibits about the events of the day.
And my understanding is that you were involved in all of the phases of the planning and the design of this. So talk about the conversations that folks had as they were putting this all together.
Well, I think, you know, it started with an international design competition. And Paul was one of over 1,500 first phase competitors. It was narrowed down to five finalists. There was a mixed jury of family members and design professionals and local residents who picked Paul's design. The design itself is intended to give the visitor a sense of the healing nature of this site. This is an old strip mine. This is all strip. Everything that's here was strip mined. Everything that you're standing on was formerly a recycling center. So it was a harsh environment. He hopes that the features that are here will give visitors a sense to come and reflect on what happened here on 9/11, give them a chance to reflect on what they did, what their heroism was, and how that their heroism saved lives, but also how it helped to heal in part of this nation, because, you know, there was a portion of the attack that wasn't carried out. The governmental section of the attack was not finished. So this site does do that. There are many areas once we get it open that the visitor can come and reflect. The seasons will affect the way people visit the site. We have modern facilities here on top of the hill that in the wintertime people can enjoy the crash site without freezing. It can be cold and harsh here. The fall is about to hit us. We're going to have fall colors. There's going to be different things moving around, different birds migrating. So the site is coming back to life, and that's what they were after. Passengers, crew wanted the plane back. They wanted their lives. They wanted to land that safely. They weren't on a suicide mission.
It's Essential Pittsburgh. I'm Paul Guggenheimer, and my guest is Keith Newland. He is the Deputy Superintendent of the Western Pennsylvania National Park Service and was instrumental in the design of the Visitor Center complex here, which includes a learning center and very imposing memorial wall. And for the people of Shanksville, much of the focus of 9/11 falls on New York and certainly on Washington as well, with the Pentagon being one of the areas where the hijackers crashed a plane. This is a very different setting, and it had to be a very traumatic event for the people of this area, of the small towns surrounding this area and the people that are part of Stony Creek Township. How much does this contribute to a sense of closure, coming to grips with the events of 14 years ago for these folks?
Well, I think it's a mixed bag. I think that we've had some exhibitors who are from the local area. Wally Miller, for example, the coroner was in, saw his picture. He's featured prominently in there. You could tell that it struck him, but he's rather stoic at times. He's a good guy at heart. I think that the local populace, the folks that are here, are going to come to the site more as a local sort of healing site, because now they have more things they can do here. Before, it was the wall of names, and that's all you could do. Now you can walk, hike the alley. We've got a complete hiking circulation. So I've already heard that local folks are coming, and they're going to walk it, not in a competition way, but in a recreational way, so that they can do their own healing too. I've run into a couple of individuals who are in the exhibit, former fire chief from Shanksville. He's no longer associated with anything in Shanksville. I mean, he's still a fire chief, but he spoke. When he looked at me, he stopped, and we didn't say anything else. So he's going to be here tomorrow. So I think there's a lot of closure that will come with this, but it's still going to open up some new memories for folks.
Keith, I get the sense this is emotional for you too.
It could be, yeah.
Tell me about the Learning Center. Take us through that and the things that people can look at and through in order to gain a better understanding of what happened with Flight 93 on September 11th, 2001.
There was a lot of discussion about this building. I mean, originally the visitor center, I mean, typical visitor centers in the Park Service have a learning space, and, you know, you got learning activities going on. So when we started to talk about the exhibits and how, you know, reverent it was going to be on the interior, and we jumped to the next step, which is we have to educate the kids that don't remember this or have very little memory of this, and we also have to set up leadership programs, because in 35 minutes they made several key leadership decisions, took a vote, formed a democracy, said, hey, this is what we're going to do. So we need to build on a leadership sort of program for that, and what we hope to do is use the Learning Center. It's modest. It has a small space, but the entire site would be used as that learning classroom. So we'll have education programs here for the school groups. We'll have after-hour programs. We'll have speaker series. You know, there's an ability to have small receptions. So it's a multi-purpose space, but it also serves as sort of the gateway, because we finally have, you know, toilets. We have flush toilets. This is a difficult site, because this is an asset site, asset mine site. You can't build typical things here. So we have flush toilets for the first time. So this is the first experience. People come in, they're going to park just like you all did. They come in, whew, take a look. I'm going to go to the bathrooms. I'm going to take an orientation. I'm going to decide what I'm going to do. Then you get all that clutter out of your way. Then you start to make your progression to the serious nature of the exhibits.
It really is a stark contrast. And I was here 3 months after 9/11 in 2001, New Year's Eve 2001, at this site, when I guess there might have been one paved road. None of this was here. All that there was at the spot where the plane crashed was a wooden platform and a place where people could hang photos of their loved ones who died on that flight as heroes, and maybe a few written thoughts tacked up on a piece of paper blowing in the wind. It really has changed, and it's amazing the transformation that has happened.
I have to agree with you, and I think that there's a progression here. If you look at that, in the early years, we didn't know a lot about what was happening with those flights. I mean, there were still investigations underway, you know, and the FBI, of course, they broke the investigation on 9/11 here with the evidence they found. So there was a lot of discussion about that. And then the other two sites, the Pentagon and Trade Center, were going through their own, you know, memorialization processes. How do we do that? The memorialization process here involved the tribute wall, because people wanted to come and they wanted to pay their respects. And then as we moved closer and closer and we developed more and we were able to buy land and put a design in place, people began to say, okay, tell me more. Where were they sitting on the plane? What happened? What's the timeline? Do we have phone calls? Do we have this? Where's the evidence? What does the evidence look like? You know, so a lot of questions have developed over the years. We still people still pay tribute. There's no doubt. They come here to pay their respects. But now there's going to be a new layer added to that. And I think that that layer of respect is going to be elevated, because quite frankly, you're going to go in there and you're going to see things you may have forgotten. You're going to see things you don't know. You're going to hear phone calls you may have forgotten. And it's going to elevate that level, and it's going to take it up here. Well, I was paying respect before because I knew this. Now I know this. So my level of respect is coming up here right now. And this site's going to do it because it gives you the facilities and the ability to do that.
What are some of the other things that, specifically things that people can interact with that will enhance their understanding and appreciation for what happened with Flight 93?
We have a database in there. We could not get all the information on our five walls on the interior. We were confined by, you know, space and budget. So we have an interactive database where we've started to grow that knowledge, you know. So Deora Borgia, you know, what Borgia, what did she have? I mean, what are her habits? What are the things that she liked to do? We can start to add to that database. We have assisted listening devices here at the center for those that are, you know, not totally deaf, but a little hard of hearing. They can listen. They can tell what the exhibits are, and we'll keep moving through that. We hope to just keep building on the online product, because there's a lot yet to be learned. There's a lot we don't know yet. There's still an ongoing trial, and you know, in Cuba, so there's unknowns. This is still an active story, and the exhibits were fashioned so that, you know, at some point in time we can continue to add to it or model or move around some other issue. So.
And with this exhibit going forward, do you envision future additions, modifications? What do you see happening as we go forward in time?
Well, I would hope that, I mean, the panels are constructed so that we could modify. You could go in, and if, for example, if we get evidence released from a trial, you know, can we add the actual evidence? I mean, we have photographs of evidence now. Could we add those artifacts? The last wall is a tribute to all those who died on September 11th, but, you know, that wall could be altered, too, if there was, you know, more information that comes out. So I think it can be modified. If we just need to keep vigilant about it and keep moving on it. So.
Keith Newland is Deputy Superintendent of the Western Pennsylvania National Park Service, involved in all of the phases of the planning of the Visitor Center complex, including the Learning Center and the new memorial walls, and the area that people can stand on an overlook from which they can view the spot where Flight 93 crashed back in 2001. Keith Newland, thank you so much for joining us on Essential Pittsburgh.
Thank you for having me.
Tuesday, 9:47 a.m.
Hi, baby. Baby, you have to listen to me carefully. I'm on a plane that's been hijacked. I'm on the plane. I'm calling from the plane. I want to tell you I love you. Please tell my children that I love them very much. And I'm so sorry, babe. I don't know what to say. There's three guys. They've hijacked the plane. I'm trying to be calm. We're turned around, and I've heard that there's planes that have been flown into the World Trade Center. I hope to be able to see your face again, baby. I love you. Bye.
That was a voicemail left by passenger Cece Lyles to her husband.
I'm now joined by Debbie Borgia, who is the mother of Deora Bodley, the youngest female passenger aboard Flight 93. Ms. Borgia is past treasurer for the families of Flight 93. Debbie Borgia, welcome so much to Essential Pittsburgh.
Thank you. Thank you.
First of all, describe your reaction to seeing this brand new visitor center complex. You're one of the family members who's had a chance to go in and see it. What are your impressions of it?
Well, my impressions for me personally was a very moving rendition or a story of what happened on September 11th. And I'm also moved by what's available for the visitors as they first come through the visitor center starting tomorrow when it's open for the public. I'm sure they'll be touched I hope that they're inspired to do something wonderful in their lives after they go through the visitor center, that they go home and maybe, you know, have the sense of love for family, or there might be something they'd like to do for their community, you know, that they have the same, some kind of courage, like those on the plane had courage to do what they did, that they'll have courage to take on something in their lives.
What were some of the things that were particularly striking to you in the Learning Center complex?
Inside the Visitor Center, tributes left by people who have been to the temporary site as well as the current site. There are areas where people can leave little tributes, and I was very moved by the tributes that people have left over the years. Pendants, pins, boots, pieces of clothing, hats, and especially the things that are left by children. Airplanes, cars, pennies, things that they probably just wanted to leave something behind for the sake of saying that they were here, that maybe it was something special to them, so special that they wanted to leave that special item here as something in honoring those on board Flight 93.
I was talking earlier about coming to this site on New Year's Eve 2001, some 3 months or so after the events of 9/11 and the crash of Flight 93, and there wasn't much here. It was a very sparse site. Debbie, would you say that there is a correlation or a parallel between how you've come to grips with what happened 14 years ago and how this site has evolved to pay tribute to people like your daughter?
You know, thank you for asking that question. There is a parallel. I've been a part of the building of this memorial. I've watched it, you know, change from a temporary site that was a grassroots effort by the people that are here in the area, and then the President Bush signing the Memorial Act, you know, where the National Park Service now becomes involved in the building of this memorial and being on the board, past treasurer of the families, and participating in that. And what came to mind also was that opportunity, a missed opportunity, of, you know, seeing Diora, you know, move on in her life. She died when she was 20. You know, she wanted to marry, she wanted to have children. You know, those things I'll miss. I'll never come to fruition. But I get to see that type of change that's happened over the years at the memorial. You know, her life would have been different, that of a 20-year-old at Santa Clara, you know, being a junior. Her life would have gone on. I won't see that, but I get to see that idea of change in the memorial and how they'll honor her, remember her. The Park Service will be stewards of her life, and the Visitor Center will visitors will also be involved in that, being a part of Diora's life and maybe then taking on something in their lives that would continue her memory through what it is that they would like to do for maybe their family or in their community. But to know that there may be visitors that do this because of Diora, and that way she lives on, even though she's not here physically with us.
Describe the type of person, the type of young woman that Diora was.
Diora was, she was fiercely independent. She loved children. She loved to volunteer. She did a lot of volunteer work when she was in high school, Special Olympics. She had an internship at the San Diego Zoo. She loved animals. She worked at the Helen Woodward Center, where they took care of adoptions for dogs and cats. And then she went on into college to be part of the America Reads program. And after her college classes, she'd head over to St. Clair's Elementary School and do an after-school reading program with the first and second graders there. So she really just loved children. She had a sister 10 years younger than her. Muriel was always involved in everything that Diora did. There was none of the shunning of this younger sister who might not understand. That wasn't the case. Muriel was always included in Dior's life. And I think that was a very special relationship between the two of them. As a mother, it was wonderful to see these two sisters together bonded the way that they were, even though there was this 10 years difference.
Does being here at this revised and newly constructed visitor center in some way allow you to experience the spirit of Diora, if not her presence?
Well, I've been here now just a couple hours since I've toured the visitor center, and for me, I just have this sense of feeling at home. And there's a sense of comfort that is something that Diora always brought into my life. Her love of family was always top on the list for her. So I do have this sense of community, family, get together. I was listening to another family member earlier today talk about the experience that all of us family members now have. You know, we never knew each other, and now we come together to dedicate this visitor center. And he mentioned, you know, we're all family now, you know, and we like each other, and sometimes we don't like each other. We've got the typical family scenario going on. So for Diora, it was always about family, and here we are as family members, you know, continuing to experience this love of family.
Debbie Borza is the mother of Diora Bodley, who was the youngest female passenger aboard Flight 93. She's also a past treasurer for the families of Flight 93. Debbie Borza, it has been a pleasure meeting and talking with you. Thanks for joining us and sharing your stories with us on Essential Pittsburgh.
Oh, you're so welcome.
And we'll have more Essential Pittsburgh coming up. This is 90.5 WESA.